I'd like to start this morning by sharing an illustration from a book called Proof, Finding Freedom Through the Intoxicating Joy of Irresistible Grace. And it was written by Dan Montgomery and Timothy Jones. And it's a true story. It's not just an illustration for the purpose of illustrations, but it's a true story because this little girl in the end becomes one of the author's adopted child. So there's a little girl, and she's adopted by a family, and the adoption didn't go that well. There was a lot of struggle in the family, and in fact, for one reason or another, when the family decided, they went a couple of times to Disney World, and they would take their biological children, but for one reason or another, this little girl was always left with a friend of the family and never got to go. After about 2 years, the adoption was dissolved. It just did not work out. I did not know you could do that, but I guess down in the States you can. And somehow it was dissolved. But it wasn't long before I said the author, Tim Jones, his family, they adopted this little girl. You see, this little girl, every time her first adopted family would go to Disney World and she didn't get to go, she just thought it was she'd done something wrong and was being punished. And she'd heard many stories about Disneyland, and she'd seen many pictures of Disneyland, but she'd never made it through the gates of the Magic Kingdom. And when Tim and his family heard the story, they decided that they would take her to Disneyland with their family. So they planned in advance, Disney World, sorry. And they planned in advance to go to Disney World, And as the days approached, they were about a month out, and this little girl started acting up. I mean, she would steal a snack, which if she had asked for, they would have just said, sure, here it is. And then she started lying quite a bit. And then she would whisper hurtful things to her older sister, just to be mean, just to hurt her. And as the time got closer and closer to their leaving for Disneyland, things just got worse. And finally, one day, a couple of days before they were to leave, Tim sat down with the little girl and started to talk to her. And she said this, "I know what you're going to do. You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" And Tim picked her up and put her on his knee and said to her, "Is the Disney World a family trip?" And she nodded. "And are you part of this family?" And she nodded again. "Then you are going with our family, is going to Disney World together. We are going." And then he explained that there are consequences for some of the actions that you've been doing, some of the things that have been going on, but you, young lady, are going to Disney World with the family. And you would have thought that would have fixed everything. But it didn't. She was still bad, even on the trip to Disney World. But the day finally came. They left their hotel. They went to the Magic Kingdom. They walked through the gates of the Magic Kingdom. And they had an incredible day as a family in Disney World. It was terrific. They all got back to their hotel that evening, and they were exhausted. Tim was putting his little girl to bed, and he prayed with her. And then he said, "Well, what was your first day at Disney World like?" After a few moments, she opened her eyes slightly and said, "Daddy, I finally got to go to Disney World. But it wasn't because I was good. It's because I'm yours." I could stop there. But isn't that grace? That is exactly what grace is. Grace is free and undeserved favor. That little girl did not deserve to go to Disney World. She had been bad, horrifically bad. But Mom and Dad said, "You're part of the family. And because you're ours, you're going to Disney World." Free, undeserved favor. God is full of grace, full of free, undeserved favor. Now, just to put things in perspective, I'm going to talk a lot about Jesus today. But in John, Jesus says that Him and the Father are one. In other words, Jesus is God. And if Jesus is God, and if Jesus is full of grace, then God is full of grace. They are one and the same. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 14. This is talking about Jesus. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Did you catch what John wrote here? He said that they were full of grace and truth. That God is full of grace. He's not 50% full of grace and 50% full of truth. No, He's full of grace. He's 100% full of grace and He's 100% full of truth. He's permeated with grace and truth. There is no spot in God's character where grace doesn't dwell. And there's no spot in God's character where truth doesn't dwell. So let's take a few minutes and look at the life of Jesus and see how full of grace He really is. One day Jesus was walking along and He saw Matthew, a tax collector, sitting at his tax booth. You know how bad tax collectors are, right? They're the sinners of sinners. Tax collectors worked for the Roman government and collected taxes for the Roman government. And then after they gouged you for the Roman taxes, they extorted more out of you for themselves. The Jews hated the tax collectors. Jesus is a Jew. But Jesus says, when He sees Matthew, He says, "Come. Come and follow Me. Be with Me. And I'm going to come to your house for dinner." Why does Jesus do that? Does Jesus do that because He knows that Matthew has gouged the people? So He will have lots of money? He's a good guy to have following you? No. Jesus does it because He's full of grace. Oh, and there's another time. Jesus is invited to a Pharisee's house for dinner. Jesus had to be really a Pentecostal. He was always eating. He was always going for meals at people's houses. But he was invited to a Pharisee's home for dinner. And while he was there, a woman came in, and she stood behind Jesus, and she wept, and her tears landed on his feet. So she knelt down, and she took her hair and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, wiped the tears. And then she kissed his feet and anointed his feet with a strong, expensive perfume and continued to wipe his feet with her hair. Well, those that were there were appalled because they knew what this woman was like. They knew this woman. And they couldn't believe that Jesus had allowed her to do that. Well, Jesus doesn't just allow her to wipe his feet. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Why does Jesus do that? Does Jesus do that because, I mean, his host didn't wash his feet when he came in? He didn't show him the respect, but this woman had shown him the respect and washed his feet with her tears and put perfume on his feet? No. He did it because he's full of grace. Oh, and there was another day. Jesus entered the town of Jericho. And as he was entering the town of Jericho, the crowds flocked around him. And this little guy couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree. And see, as Jesus walked underneath that sycamore tree, he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there. I need to stay at your house." Zacchaeus is a tax collector also. So he goes to Zacchaeus' home. And as he's there and as he's talking, Zacchaeus says, "I will pay back everything I stole from people. All that I've gouged people for. I will pay them back four times the amount I took. And I will take half of my belongings and give them to the poor." And listen to what Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 19. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Why did Jesus say that salvation has come to Zacchaeus? I mean, he's a tax collector. He's a swindler. Is it because Zacchaeus was willing to help the poor? Was it because he was willing to give back the money he had ripped people off for? Well, I mean, those are good things. But that's not why salvation came to the home. Salvation came to the home because Jesus is full of grace. Would you like to hear more? They falsely accused Jesus and then they nailed him to a cross and dropped the cross in the ground. And as they were hurling insults at him and ridiculing him, he looked down from the cross, full of grace, and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Full of grace. And there was a thief hanging on a cross beside him. And the thief said to Jesus, "Please remember me." And Jesus said to the thief, a thief who's rightfully being crucified for his sins, he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today. me share one other account. One other man on another occasion. This man who was dishonest. He did not think twice about stealing anything from anyone. He was hard on his family. He had a terrible temper. He was not a very good husband. He was self-centered and had a foul mouth. But every once in a while, he would do something nice for his neighbors. He'd maybe shovel their snow or do something for his neighbors or his family. Something nice. On December the 20th, 1980, Jesus told him his sins were forgiven. Did Jesus forgive his sins because of the nice things, the few nice things that he did? No, Jesus forgave my sins because he's full of grace. Full of grace. For years, God has been forgiving people who have come to him, not because they deserved it, but he forgave them because he's full of grace. In every situation, it's not because of what they've done or who they are or what they have. It's all because he's full of grace. John chapter 1, verse 16 reads these words. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. We who do not deserve grace receive it. From where? From his fullness. And how much do we receive? We receive grace upon grace. A friend of mine explained it this way. He said it's sort of like being at a beach, maybe in Mexico, where the waves are coming in and crashing on the beach. And it's hot. And you go and stand in the water, and the cool waves come and they crash on you. And it feels so refreshing. And then the next wave comes, and again, it comes over you, and it's refreshing. One after another, those waves come, one after another, and they're refreshing. God's grace is upon grace, and it comes like one wave after another upon us, and brings us refreshing. God is full of grace, and from his grace we all receive his free and undeserved favor. So in John 1 and 14, we stated that Jesus was full of grace and truth. 100% full of grace and 100% full of truth. And if we read John chapter 1, verse 17, we read this: For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Again, we see Jesus has grace and truth. It's interesting that he would marry those two words together, grace and truth. I mean, if I was going to write, I might say justice and truth. I mean, or judgment and truth. Or holiness and truth. But God says, no, it's grace and truth. Because I am full of grace and truth. See, the law says we get what we deserve. That's what Moses said. We get what we deserve. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, an arm for an arm. That's the law. But grace is the exact opposite of that. The exact opposite. See, it is free and undeserved favor. I might have stole something, but grace says, you're forgiven. Where the law says, you have to pay it back, plus. So, does that mean that Jesus has done away with the law? Does that mean that, you know, he doesn't really have any need for the law? He's not following the law. It's all about grace. If you do something wrong, you know, like, I mean, what does it matter? I'll just go rob Safety Mart. There's grace. No, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Because Paul says, because of their grace, should we sin more so grace may abound more? No. I mean, if we're trying to obtain our standing with God by the law, we don't want to be around Jesus. Because Jesus said, or the law says, if we commit adultery, we have sinned. But Jesus says, if we look at a woman lustfully, we have sinned. The law says, if we murder someone, we have sinned. But Jesus says, if you're angry with someone, you've sinned. See, if we're trying to make it to heaven by the law, we don't want to be around Jesus because he has raised the standard. He has set the bar so high. I mean, we might manage not to murder anybody. Nobody's murdered anybody in the last 24 hours. We might manage not to murder anybody. We might manage not to commit adultery. But what's in our heart is what Jesus is saying. You see, the truth is our goodness is and will never be good enough. In fact, Isaiah wrote that all our goodness is just like filthy rags. God's grace is important on two fronts. First, we just talked about the fact that we cannot keep the law. Thus, we are perishing in our sins. Outside of grace from God, we will die separated from him forever. And thankfully, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. It is God's grace that sets us free from our sins and makes us right with him. It's that free, undeserved favor that makes us right. But grace is also important as it needs to fill us grace upon grace. As we are filled with that grace, which we can extend to others around us. Again, listen back to John chapter 1, verse 16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. I don't think that grace upon grace, all that grace that we've received, God has meant for us to keep to ourselves. I don't think God wants us to be grace hoarders. He wants us to to share that grace, to extend that grace with others. That's why he keeps pouring his grace into us. So we will be full of grace. See, we are to be like Jesus. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Word of God says? We're to be like Jesus. And Jesus is full of grace, extending grace to people. And what are we like? That's why we need grace upon grace in our lives. So we can extend that grace to others. When we realize how much grace God has given us, how much He has freely given what we don't deserve, we should be compelled to freely give that to others. Giving grace to another person is simply forgiving them unconditionally, just as God has forgiven us through Christ Jesus. Freely we have received God's grace. As we really understand what that means, what God's grace has done for us, how can we but not freely give out God's grace to those around us instead of putting justice and truth, or judgment and truth, or holiness and truth? We will want to put grace and truth. It is of utmost importance that we really and truly understand what it means to say, God is full of grace. Grace, God's grace, affects where we will spend eternity. And it affects where other people in our lives that we come in contact with will spend eternity. They will either spend it, and we will either spend it with God forever, or in hell forever, separated from Him forever. We experience God's grace not because we are good. We experience God's grace, as the little girl said, because of whose we are. We are the Father's children. And that's why we experience. When we really know God's grace, we will want to give that grace to all we